Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition Smart Bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hola, socios. Hola, equipo. My name is Neil.
I'm Liam.
This is John Nurnberger from Kansas City, Missouri, USA.
Moray Field near Brisbane in Queensland.
Edinburgh.
Barcelona.
And I'm a socio.
I'm a socio.
I am a socio of The Big Interview.
Hi, my name's Neil. I'm a socio of The Big Interview from Moray Field near Brisbane in Queensland. My favourite episode of the last season was the one with Sir Les Ferdinand. I never realised that he'd actually played in Turkey at the start of his career. Every time I listen to an episode, I always learn something new. Keep up the good work. Thanks.
Welcome to The Big Interview. I'm Graham Hunter. Welcome to the show. I went back to Derby County's training ground recently to speak to Shea Given. He's part of Frank Lampard's coaching staff, along with Jody Morris. And you can all see for yourselves that things are going well. A talented trio, a talented team. I first met Shea behind the scenes at Michael Carrick's testimonial at Old Trafford, liked him. And the fact that he was a top-class goalkeeper for so many years for several different clubs and also played elite international football for Ireland, allied to the fact that he's got an interesting life, is a characterful, funny, articulate man, meant big interview guest. The full interview with Shea is only available to our socios, our members, at patreon.com/Graham Hunter. Join us, I urge you. It's a very small contribution each month. It's worthwhile and you'll enjoy it. Otherwise, for everybody else, here's a short trailer of what our members will be listening to when Graham met Shea. Is there an armed robbery taking place when you're in a hotel in Portmarnock?
Yeah.
Can you talk me through that?
Is it random, innit?
Yeah.
It's funny because it's kind of like a split level. So there's the reception was, we're in a restaurant, like say we're sitting in here now, and above us was the reception. So the stairs up the reception were about, I don't know, 20 yards away from where we were sitting. And there were just the whole team was there, the staff.
Who's we?
The Republic of Ireland, full international squad was there and management. And it was like, we just heard like shouting and sort of like quite loud. And we just thought, oh, it must be someone just having a row about something or whatever. We didn't know. And the next thing we heard a gun go off, like literally a shotgun going off. And we're like, obviously there's a few, what the hell's that? People get under tables, people ran out. There was an exit sort of door to the other side of the room to go back down into the main part of the hotel to get away from it and stuff. And it was just so weird because we didn't know if the guy with the gun was going to just show he's come down the steps. Literally had a flight of steps to come down and the full international team was there. So it was a bit scary, to be honest. And luckily, I think he just maybe took some money from the take-ins and reception and shot off.
It was a full-on robbery.
It was a full robbery, yeah. There's only like a level between us and it was open, sort of. So it was just, we were diving cover a little bit because we realised then that this is not just somebody having an argument.
This isn't a drill.
Reception. No, it's not a fire drill for sure. But yeah, it was a bit scary. And after, you know, when it all calmed down, obviously the Gardaí Shea Connor, which is the, for people who don't know, the equivalent of the police in Ireland came out and you know, that you could see all the pellet guns in the roof. So we shot the gun into the roof of the reception. You could see all the holes in the,
yeah.
They frightened people, yeah. So definitely done that. Definitely done the trick.
Who had the quickest heels?
there was a few gone, and then a few people started taking their witches off. What if he wants her? Why? You know, there's just some mad stuff goes on in your head.
It's funny how your mind works.
Yeah, thinking maybe he's here for us. Where's the team at? Because we're just eating at that time. Maybe he knows. You know, you think he's done his homework.
He couldn't get
talking
a
about Bruce
for
Willis. You know, he's done all these different things. He's come to get us. So people started taking their witches. People started running. It was just weird, but luckily enough, he wasn't there for us. Thankfully.
Now, we've had the great good fortune of picking off quite a few of that team. Mm. Robbie Keane's been on this podcast.
Yeah.
Duffer's been on this podcast, very entertainingly. Mm-hmm. Kev Kilbane has been on it as well. Which of those that I've just named was nearly lost to the sea at Portmanet?
Did Duffer tell you that story?
Well, there's still many people who fear that he wandered off. You know how like the Beatles fans say when McCartney actually did die in a car crash?
Yeah.
Right? And it's been an imposter for the last 35 years.
Yeah.
There are some people who wonder if it's the real Duffer. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, that's brilliant. We used to do that a lot, actually, because we stayed in Portmanet, and for anyone who doesn't know Portmanet, it's right on the beach of the hotel.
It's beautiful, isn't it?
So it's beautiful, yeah, it's beautiful, but you can imagine the sea is not so warm. It's not like...
I'd say cold.
It's not next to Barcelona where it's nice and warm, but it's really cold, to say the least. But what we usually, you know, this is before ice baths and stuff. Our ice bath was the sea. So a lot of the times after training, the lads would go in, and Duffer was probably one of the best professionals I've ever worked with, to be honest, and he would religiously go in after training every day, you know, for that recovery to get ready even for the game the next day or for another training session. But he would go in with the headphones on, he would go in with a coat on and you know, shorts or whatever. And I think some woman was walking her dog along the beach at the time or something. And she shouted like Duffer, and Duffer had music on or something. He's turned around, he's given, don't be silly, I don't know. He didn't even want to listen to her. He just it was kind of like he was in his own zone. And you can imagine how cold, because I've been in there myself, how cold it is. The last thing you want to do is have any conversation with anyone. You're just trying to get in there
and get it done and get out.
So she's obviously took it. Oh, he's gone to like obviously take his own life.
He's gonna end it all.
Yeah, he's gone because he's got looks. She can only see. She can't see. He's got shorts, so she can only see up to his waist. Like, and he's got his full clothes on, and he's just walking into deeper and deeper into the sea. So she's ran off and called the local coast guard. And next thing, so Duffer's always been. I think we normally do like five, ten minutes max in the sea and back up to the hotel, showered and that. And by the time the bleeding Coast Guard came and the helicopter...
There's nobody there.
He's nobody there. So that makes it even...
He's busted.
You think
out.
He's gone.
Yeah.
So up and down the thing we... For it seemed... Must be a good couple of hours looking for him and then realised, obviously, I don't know how long it took him to realise it was actually Duffer who's tucked up on his bed at this time after a nice warm lunch, and he's probably watching a film or something in his bed getting ready for training.
Red blood cells pulsing through the muscles.
I know, yeah.
Ready to rip a defender.
We may have been looking out the window thinking, I wonder what that helicopter's doing up and down the coast there, because it was just outside our hotel.
Not on the same subject exactly, but we have beautiful sponsors. Bet365 have sent this question in for you.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an easy one, a really easy one. What's the toughest or worst part of being a goalkeeper?
The toughest or worst part? It's probably the loneliness of it, of when you make a mistake, the loneliness of just you there on your own and thinking, you know, I should have saved that or whatever. You've let... your team down. We talked about the fans before. You feel like this is me personally. You feel like you've let the fans down, the club down, the owners. You feel that you're responsible, you know, to what's just happened, you know. And the thing is, early part of my career, I struggled with dealing with mistakes, and I took it on board myself to get a sports psychologist to help me with that. But you know, it is a lonely position, and then you might not touch the ball for another 20 minutes after that, because that's just the position you're in. I don't know if there's a I don't know, a mentality that, you know, the keepers maybe the less talented than the rest of them. But I used to be the top goal scorer in my school. I used to love playing up front. You know, I was kind of cross between playing out the fielder and goals. My dad said I should be a goalkeeper. He was a goalkeeper and all that kind of stuff. But you know, I think, you know, people maybe later in life still think that maybe we're not as talented as the outfield players. But you look at Ederson now. You look at Kepa at Chelsea. You look at the amount of money he's played, that much would David De Gea be worth now? You know, Alisson's gone for $67 million to Liverpool. You look at the prices that are getting paid for. There's suddenly, in my opinion, there's been literally a wake-up call to all managers, all owners, and all people around the world that, do you know what? Yes, the striker might be the most important, but I'll tell you what, the second most important was the goalkeeper. Because if you've got someone keeping them out, and especially now when you look at the styles of play, that, for example, Man City with Ederson, how Pep Guardiola wants to set his team up, and one of his most important players and his whole team, and you know, you talk about Aguero and all these flair players and Sterling and all these guys, but one of the main people in all his whole system is the goalkeeper, and that is critical. And what they paid for him now, you could say, is a bargain. They paid $35 million for him, because he's been so good and so good with the ball at his feet as well. He literally is an 11th outfield player when they have the ball, and it's just remarkable. I feel it has taken so long for people to realise that.
Well, turning that around, I'm so glad you've taken.
I went in a bit of a rant there, didn't I?
No, because that's the central part of what we wanted to talk to you about. Because before we talk about breaking keepers down, whether you talk about De Gea or Alisson or Ederson, the British media predominantly say that the top three goalkeepers in the world are here. I think Neuer was, I think because of age and injury, that time's probably gone. I know that a lot of people here don't watch La Liga quite as much as they used to when it was on Sky, or as much as I do, because I live there. But if I look at Courtois, who's just come back, Kehler, who won three straight Champions League, Marc-Andre Ter Stegen, who's a different kind of goalkeeper in that he's probably dimensioned like you, whereas, you know, Ederson, Courtois are giants of men.
Well, Ederson's not, I wouldn't disagree with Ederson's not, but Courtois for sure, yeah.
Courtois is.
Neuer, for sure.
Neuer was. And if you keep going down the leagues and you look at David Soria or Neto at Valencia, and you add just those two countries without even going back to where Leno came from, and I've yet to learn enough about Leno, but, you know, it'd be my contention that we're living in the golden age of goalkeeping for any number of reasons, the number of candidates you can argue about how do you compose a top five around Europe, never mind the world, is brutally hard. You can say, well, my team wants to play at this, therefore he's better than him because of our brand of football. Fine, okay. Who are the guys that are that have your preference for whatever reason you want to say? And two, why is it that we've come to this golden? What has the level of goalkeepers across a broad spectrum gone up?
I think the position has changed over the years, and especially in recent years, and maybe that's why maybe the goalkeepers are more in the spotlight to a certain degree, because of transfer fees, for one. There's a realisation that this is a hugely important position for the whole team, and the way we want to play, I mean, I'll go back to Man City, the way they want to play, you know, Liverpool, Klopp as well, you could argue. I mean, I'm talking about Premier League clubs because, as you say, I don't see. I mean, I know there's All Black as well at Atletico. You didn't mention who's a phenomenal goalkeeper.
He might be my number one right now.
Yeah, yeah.
In what I would consider pure goalkeeping, the art of stopping goals.
Yeah.
When it comes to playing with the feet, then it's a broader discussion. I would need your input. But All Black, that's a case to be number one.
Yeah, everyone has a different thing. So Pep Guardiola might think, the number one box you need to tick is how good is he with the ball at his feet, right? Okay, Ederson is probably, for me, the best maybe in the world. His composure with the ball at his feet, his thing. Then you go, who's the best shot stopper? Now, you would say maybe David De Gea, or you mentioned All Black. They could be two of the best shot stoppers. But Pep Guardiola might be sitting in his chair and thinking, yeah, they're fantastic shot stoppers, but I want them to be better with the ball at the feet. I want them to be the 11th player when we have the ball. It's who's the manager, what manager at that club, and what, do you know what I mean?
How what's
like Simeone at Atletico would be like, well, I wouldn't change All Black way any keeper in the world.
There's no way he'd allow Ederson to do that. He'd never sign him.
That's
anathema to choose Simeone. You're right.
So, and Pep Guardiola might say, well, All Black's not good enough for me with the ball at his feet. So it's difficult for anyone to be at the top of the pyramid and on every single person's eyes. And that's a good thing about football, not just goalkeepers, but everyone has a different opinion.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
But when we look at, my contention, I mean, I agree with everything that you've said, and my contention would be that there's never been a time when there's such a wide range of absolute excellence, and maybe there's a simple answer, but I'm fishing for it. Full-time one-on-one training every day rather than... I remember when Hodgson was coming through with Gorham at Rangers in Scotland, and one-on-one goalkeeper training was not necessarily the most common thing that existed, but he was regarded as, you know, a world guru, like Steadman and knee surgeon or whatever. And now every single club will dedicate time to that. It's part of the central part of the work you do here at Derby. Yeah. You know, is one-on-one individual training every day the reason for it? Is it footballers saying, well, there's more to my job as a goalkeeper, therefore I have to expand my skills? Do you have a feeling for why the level is so high? Across the industry, I mean.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Yeah, I think that obviously helps. If you've got a coach coaching you every single day, you know, I started my career at Glasgow Celtic and we had Joe Corrigan, who came in on a Thursday.
Ex-Manchester City.
Yeah, ex-Manchester City goalkeeper came in on a Thursday and coached the keepers for one day a week. So if you take one day a week now till we're in here 7 days a week, then naturally they're going to improve, get better. And also, I think the game's moved on, and then the actual position of being a goalkeeper has moved on. You know, we used to get the ball and you'd be told to kick it down as far down the pitch as you can get it away from our goal type thing, you know. And if anybody looks to get the ball off you, push them up the pitch. You know, I used to get some horrendous back passes and I would see names and numbers going the other way. There'd be no one giving me any option to show for it. And now you see, like, the likes of most teams, and even here at Derby, we encourage to play from the back. So when the keeper gets it, he should have, you know, three, four, maybe five options where to play the ball. And I think that's good, the way the game's moved on.
When the names and numbers are running away from you, we don't need to name them. But because they were... Because some footballers don't show.
No.
Like, I'm not having anything to do with that.
Yeah.
Or a coach says, never do that. Never pass it along, you know, never take a risk. Yeah. What was it in that situation? The culture was still get it long, players would hide from the responsibility on a bumpy pitch.
Probably the whole coaching's moved on, not just the goalkeeping coach, but the whole game's moved on so much now that, you know, in a sense, you know, people like Pep Guardiola and the likes have to take the credit for that, because they've revolutionised the whole game of keeping possession. And, you know, we do studies here, you know, analysts here and stuff about, you know, at times we kick the ball long sometimes because there's no options. The opposition have pressed really high. We can't get out. We've kicked the ball. And even maybe we 5 minutes to go, we're leading the game. We think, let's just kick it long, get up the pitch and squeeze it. But then we've put a stopwatch on the thing, and within 9-10 seconds, the ball's back in our box.
It's back. So when the ball was at your feet, you know, in any of your club situations, were you comfortable playing it? Did you?
I enjoyed playing it, actually. I much preferred playing, but... Different. I was sort of the end of when it was kind of norm to play it. I was kind of, it was just coming into that when I was sort of coming out, if I'm being honest. And I would love to play now. You know, I hated just kicking the ball on and what have you. And one, because my groins after games used to be hanging because you just had to kick it as far as you could and you'd be ice packs in your groins and your thighs, basically. And now it's just, because I was quite composed when I played as well. Once I crossed the white line, you know, it can be quite frantic at times, but once across the white line, that was my sort of, I felt at ease with myself on the pitch and I could see things before they even happened. I could just, you know, and I just feel that if I was playing now in the modern game, I would love it. Like, I would love, you know, the Ederson position to play and be a sweeper and stuff. I used to be a sweeper, keep people used to say I'm really quick off my line and stuff, but I'd be quick off my line just to clear up the pitch again. Whereas if my defenders at the time would be like making angles and stuff,
what a frustration.
Then I would just be laying it off to them. It would be so simple, you know, but that's the way the game's moved on. And I'm not saying, you know, it was terrible back then and it's brilliant now, but it's just different times of the game.
Bet365 sent us another one. Again, I think it's reasonably simple. For you, but not for us, because every footballer has different criteria about what they do well. So if I asked you to name your greatest ever save, not only what would it be, but why would you choose it?
Well, it's difficult. I'm not a great person of saying I was brilliant at this and that was an amazing save.
This is off the record. Nobody's listening.
No, yeah. Just between you, turn the mic off.
And me, yeah. That's it.
Because I don't know. I mean, probably the one that stands out is Sunderland v Newcastle. So I was at the Stadium of Light, and I made a save up to my left off Kevin Phillips, and it was, you know, obviously you can imagine the Derby games up there used to be phenomenal, and the atmosphere, and you know, we used to get bussed in, and even the away fans get bussed in. We sort of police escorts and stuff, and you can imagine the reception you get into the stadium and all that stuff. And I loved all that. I was like, the bigger the game for me, the better. I was like, bring it on. Yeah. Do you know what I mean? That's the sort of mentality I had. I was like, come on. And in that game, that's one of the saves, but I had about, I can't remember how many. I had a lot of big saves in that game, but that was the best save that I made in that game. And there was other great saves, but it made like...
Technically, reaction?
No, it was
pressure.
A shot just from the edge of the box, and he whipped it, and I've just literally gone full length to my left, step and dive right up to the top, his right hand corner, my left hand corner, my left, and I just got a finger to it. And it was one of them one saves you make, and you literally landed a yard outside the post or something, and it was like... I went thinking I'm probably got no chance of saving it. I say to the lads even now every day, you know, you can't save with your eyes, and that means, you know, you don't look at it, get into net. You surprise yourself sometimes. Someone, a coach told me that when I was 15, you can never save a shot with your eyes. You know, you see keepers and they stand and it hits the net. And Bobby Robson used to say that to me. He goes, son, I'm 72. I can stand and watch the ball go in the net. I want you to die for it. And that stuck with me, all that, you know, all that stuff over the years. Like, but that was one of them saves. I've literally flew as far as humanly possible. And I got the end of my finger on my left hand to it. And I just got enough of the ball to go around the post. I mean, I remember, I think, rolling over and getting up. And I sort of give it a bit of a nod. I think it was Kevin Phillips. And I just give it a bit of a nod. Is that like, as if to say, is that the best you got? Like, with an arrogance and a sort of like, right. And he at that stage, because he couldn't hit it any better, he was thinking, my God, we're not scoring today. It was one of them days, that I think some coach said to me once, you could have saved water today. You were just saving everything. You know, you could have caught water, because it was just, you get days like that as a goalkeeper. Of course you do. You get days you're unbeatable. And that save, and the reason I say that save is because I think it made the top 10 saves of Premier League history or something, and that's probably why it was in my head stuck out as well. But it was the Derby, it was all that kept a clean sheet. It was a lot to it, you know. It was good.
Thank you for joining us for season 2018-19. We've got huge creative plans for the months ahead, but we do need your help to make them happen. Please go right now to patreon.com/GrahamHunter and become a socio, become a paying member, and get an extra big interview every month, plus loads of bonus content. Last season, socios listened to 9 exclusive big interviews, including Rafa van der Vaart, Troy Deeney, Roberto Di Matteo, and loads of me talking about football. The Premier League, the Champions League, Spanish football. I'm sure they enjoyed it, and you will too. Support us, join us. Thank you.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince? They exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.